You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent. Thought leader is one of those buzzwords that gets plenty of airtime these days, so much so that we hear it all the time, meaning nearly everyone, it seems, has become or wants to be a thought leader. This week, my podcast guest is someone I would call a true leader in the industry, not just in thinking or thoughts, but in actions and impact that he has on the people that he works with. Whether they be customers, his award-winning team, or people from other businesses that seek out his counsel on a regular basis. Of course, I'm talking about Chris Hanley from First National Byron Bay, who I caught up with on the way up to the Gold Coast for this year's ARIC. Having run a successful real estate business for the last 20 or more years, Chris has seen a few cycles in the market and weathered many storms. He believes you can still be successful if you can adjust your language and your actions to the prevailing conditions. So given the market has changed quite a bit of late, Chris was keen to share with our podcast listeners some of the training he gives his own team in terms of how to deal with some of the emotional situations that you may be finding yourself in with both sellers and buyers, why language and the language you use is so important, and why being calm at your core is an absolute must. I should also add, for those of you not familiar with Byron Bay, where Chris's office is located, it's on the main street in town, but it's a lovely house that is surrounded by wildlife, including birds, lively conversations between locals and energy in the office itself. Normally in these podcasts, we would try and denoise the background a bit for you, but in this case, we thought it would be best to leave this as an authentic adventure into Chris Hanley's office and the welcoming town of Byron Bay. I hope you enjoy the listen. So welcome, Chris Hanley.
Welcome. Thank you for coming back to Byron Bay. Beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day for it. And we're here today to talk about the language of real estate, because you and I have talked many times that language in real estate is one of the most important things, because listing and selling real estate is all about having good conversations with people and building relationships and things like that. So I want to kick off with a contentious question. Is there a place for scripts and dialogues?
Yes, when you start, I think young salespeople need, when they first get into the industry, to get some structure, and particularly if the scripts and dialogues are based on questions. If you're trained to do scripts and dialogues where you're doing all the talking, that's not such a good idea. But if you're learning to ask good questions, and in our business here, one of the things I do and have done for the last 20 years with the salespeople, particularly when the market transitions, is to give them new questions to ask people, some of which I gather those questions up from other industries or other professions. But once someone is experienced, they've got some momentum, I'm not a big believer so much in scripts and dialogues there for experienced people. I think people who join the real estate industry and profession are generally pretty smart. I think they can work out how to say things in their own language and with their own tone. So I'm not a big scripts and dialogues trainer, particularly with the experienced people, but they do have a place when people first start.
Yeah. So talk to me about some of the questions that you coach your team in terms of having the right conversations and learning more about the person that's in front of them, whether they be a buyer or a seller.
I think that we spend far too much time talking. I think whether it's a listing presentation or whether it's at a vendor meeting, a weekly vendor meeting, I think agents believe incorrectly that it's nearly like we get paid by the word and we shouldn't be paid by the word. What we should be doing is, I think, being paid maybe by the words we listen to. I think the essence of a good conversation for a real estate agent is to be asking great questions of the owner, of the seller of a property, and be returning over and over to the important things like motive. For example, if you list a property, one of the good things you can do is write the motive in dark pen on the agency agreement. And I think every time you meet with that owner, which should be weekly, face to face, particularly in a transitioning market, you should return to motive. And I think you should always be asking your seller once you've listed, has anything changed? Have any of their circumstances changed? And we've got all sorts of questions here, which I'll run through in a minute with you, that we give to the staff. If you're in a market like the transitioning that most of us are doing now, then confusion, disappointment and anger are the emotions that are running around in the lounge room because, wait a minute, did I miss something? Has the market slowed down? And if you've got a partner, a husband and wife or a couple, and they're on the market now when maybe they should have been on the market 6 months ago when the market was stronger or better, in that room, there's all these emotions sitting in there that hugely affect the owner's ability to listen to your message. So all of your meetings with your owners at the moment should be question-based.
I think you're right in terms of when people get nervous, they start talking instead of listening. And that's a real skill to try and, you know, pull yourself back.
You know why? Because most agents are afraid of silence. Silence scares a lot of people today, and particularly the younger people. They think somehow that silence is a bad thing. Silence is your great assistance when you're a salesman, because if it's silent, somebody's got to fill the hole with conversation. Now, it's like a card game. The person who talks first loses. So as a salesperson, you ask a question, right, and then wait. And the longer the gap, ultimately, the seller will talk into the gap and fill the gap with conversation and just be quiet, right? Sit back and listen. Your job there is to listen and listen and listen for clues, the things that will help you guide people through the selling process. And that word guide is a very important thing to understand. When you use words like feedback right now to a seller, when you use the word feedback to anybody, they instantly have a belief that what you're about to tell them is bad news. The connotation, the meaning of the word feedback is not they're going to tell you good things.
Yeah.
You've got to change your language and you use the word guidance. We'll give you guidance. We'll present market information, up-to-date market information that we'll gather from the buyers and the internet. Real estate is not only one long language game and one long conversation. It's also about connotation. It's about meaning. Because there's a shift in the marketplace at the moment from the very busy and active market we've had across to a more normal market, we're in this netherworld in the middle here. And there is uncertainty, so you've got to be very, very careful as an agent with the words that you use. You've got to pick your words very, very closely. The metaphor I'm using at the moment with people to describe the market we're in right now is the metaphor of a balloon, a hot air balloon. Balloons go up and the heat that they use propels the balloon up into the sky. Now, our marketplace, generally around Australia, someone's turned the heat off. The balloon's still up there. The prices are pretty good. And in my market here in Byron, they're still pretty strong. But there's nothing pushing the market up anymore. And you've got to be able to explain that to your sellers. Which brings me to another thing. The best communicators in any industry or any profession are the ones that can take something that's complicated and explain it in a simple way to people. And that's what agents need to be doing at the moment. They also need to be interpreting the market. The weird thing now is there's so much data around for an owner to be given by an agent in terms of inspections and contacts and open for inspections and visitations and on the portals. What exists today is the best information that the seller has ever had about the interest or lack of interest in their property. So what I'm saying is if the agent's up to the task of being able to interpret and explain things, the data's there as well. How do you give the data to the owners? You give it in reports and you give them detailed reports, but you don't just send reports out to people. You do not just send them without meeting with them. Mm. What a lot of agents are doing now, they go along to a course and then they hear at their course, the great thing you can do is send out weekly reports to your owners. Well, that's a waste of time unless you're also interpreting and explaining that weekly report to the people in their lounge room. Nothing's changed in the last 20 years. It's still very easy to say no to someone on a telephone, but much harder to say no to someone if you're sitting in the lounge room with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you. I think there is so much data around. And what I've been hearing anecdotally, and I'd be interested in hearing your view on this, is that there are a lot of trainers at the moment that are training things like door knocking but not being empty-handed with a report.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing. But there's still a craft there, I think, in what you were saying, which is, number one, being able to explain the data quickly. I mean, Mark Twain said, I didn't have time to write you a short letter, so I wrote you a long one instead.
Yeah, yes.
And we find that happens a lot. We've just been through that in Transform. But the other thing is, if everyone is doing it, what do you do then? Because in Transform, we had a script challenge in that the agents had to write down their favourite scripts. But what we saw is them all writing down the same thing. And Tim Ferriss said famously, if 80% of people are doing the same thing, it's time to do something different.
I love Tim Ferriss. I've got a book of his sitting on my bedside table. If you're training people to all say the same things, imagine being a seller in a lounge room listening to five agents come in and do listing presentations. It's all the same. Mm. They sometimes give the business to the person who just sounds different. It's robotic and boring. Beige is the word that comes to mind.
Yeah.
So many people in our industry, it's not their fault. They just go along and they're taught these scripts and dialogues and it's beige. If you want to connect with another human being, you will never, ever connect with another human being using scripts and dialogues. End of story. I don't care how good the scripts and dialogues are because it's robotic. They're not your words. They're someone else's. How you do connect with other human beings is you ask them questions about themselves and they then understand that you care. I saw Tom Panos talk the other night about a trust bank. You do build up a trust bank with them, a seller, and on that basis they will give you the business and later they will listen to you and trust you when you tell them they need to adjust the price of their property in order to sell or move. There's nothing we do that's rocket science, but if we're all being taught or trained to say certain things and we're all sounding the same, what the public does then, and you've all heard this and so have all the people watching this, what the public goes, well, you're all the same, so I'm going to get you on fees. So they do that and then they find the person who'll do it for the lowest fee because you all sound the same. I've never used scripts and dialogues. I've sold a lot of real estate over a long period of time. I know my staff here. We've got some of the top real estate agents in the country work here. Mm. We don't spend any time on scripts and dialogues. And I don't want everyone to sound the same. I want everyone to be different. There's a word that gets used a lot in real estate the last couple of years. It's authentic. My favourite word isn't that. My favourite word is real. I want real people here having real conversations. And a real conversation for us isn't lots of scripts and dialogues.
Mm. Why do you think agents are afraid to be real?
That is a really good question. There's a couple of factors in that. The first thing is real estate is very unsettling because we get our self-esteem from our results.
Mm.
Now, think about that. You know, I'm really good today because I got two listings. I'm really good today, I'm good because I got two sales. And unfortunately, that's not a really good way to live your life. So what happens is a lot of people struggle to work out who they are because this is an all-consuming business. We get in it and you could do it 24/7. And some days we can't be real because we think we've got to say those scripts and dialogues. We think we've got to act a certain way. It's nearly like you join real estate for some people and it's like you take on an acting role. And the acting role is you look around and you see how other successful people act, so I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And there's even physical bodily actions in our industry now called the young man swagger.
Mm.
And they got this swagger. They got this whole hip thing going on, right? John Travolta, did you see?
Staying Alive.
It's one of the great commencements of any movies. And he moves it, his hip, it's fantastic, right?
Yeah.
But I see that swagger everywhere. So unfortunately, real estate is a place where you can get into it and you can get lost. And we're not real and not authentic, and we've all done it, myself included. I remember my daughter years ago, when she was very young, saying, Dad, what's that real estate voice? You just had that real estate voice on the phone. Someone rang me at home, right? In those days, people used to ring on the landline. you know, and we all do it. I've done it too. But the best agents are authentic. They're often eccentric. They're real. They've got faults, and they've nearly always got some passion or interest outside real estate, some other place where they get bashed or bruised or whatever else. I'm lucky and blessed here to do so much community work. You can't have airs and graces in my community out here when you're doing community work. And I've done work with volunteers for 25 years. That's another area. That's where you get to be real. But if you just live in this set of tracks that's real estate and you just hang around with people in our industry, it's hard sometimes to work out what's real. That's what I think.
So let's go back to some of these words. So just before you said that guidance was a much better word than feedback, and I love that because feedback put you on the back foot immediately. It sort of sounds like, you know...
You know what's coming. Someone's going to belt me and tell me the price is too dear.
What are some of the other ones that you would replace if you could?
There's a whole pile of questions, but let me talk about a couple of things here. What I'm always talking to the staff about is the need sometimes not to shock but to prod people. James, my partner here, has one of the best lines I've ever heard. James is not afraid of silence. He's one of the best agents I've ever met, James Young. And James, in effect, has a line where he says to people politely, "Do you mind if I challenge your thinking? Do you mind if I challenge your thoughts?" Now, it's so polite, right? It sneaks up on you. But what's happening in my staff, it's good we're doing this conversation. Our market is transitioning right now as we speak. So this is a really good time to be having this conversation. And they're having difficult conversations with people out there at the moment for lots of different reasons, but in effect because people wish to sell and there's not as many buyers, there's not as many people at the open for inspections. So we are using some of the questions that I'll run through here to put to people, not to confront them or to have arguments with them, but certainly to make them think about now, like why are they choosing now to sell? You know, why would you contact me to sell your home and then not listen to me? One of the things that's happening with a lot of agents now, they're listing a property and 1 week's passing and another week and another week. The agent knows what needs to happen, but often agents choose not to tell people the truth. Peter Gilchrist used to say, just tell them how it is. The secret to educating an owner in a market that's transitioning is to just tell it how it is.
Oh.
Best line I've ever heard, that's it. But what's happening is a lot of agents aren't doing that because they listed it on the basis that the market was good and they were going to get them lots and lots of money. Now it's obvious that the market's slowed down. They don't want to tell them the truth.
I remember in my old sales days, we were taught no, like, trust. And let me just pick up that word like for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
So you want people to like you in order to secure the business to begin with.
Yeah.
But then you find yourself telling people in their lounge room something that they're not going to like, and that automatically equates to maybe they're not going to like me.
Yes.
If I'm straight with them, they're not going to like me.
I'll give you the counter to that, and you're absolutely right. If you don't sell a house, they're going to like you even less. And that's the only reason they're going to end up liking you. I heard over and over, I'm going to talk about 08, 09, 010, 011, 012 in a minute, but one of the greatest things we learned in that period of time here, this market here for those 5 years was the hardest market I've ever seen. We learned here that it didn't matter how nice you were, how good you were, how stylish you were, didn't matter any of that stuff.
Mm.
You needed to be able to work out a way to sell people's houses in a market where it was so challenging. I'll give you a statistic. One of the interesting things all around the country at the moment is we've got collective amnesia. Everyone's got amnesia about 08, 09, 010, 011, but they've got amnesia about the 20 years before that too, where we had all these periods of time where it was really difficult to sell a house. Now, what's happened is we've forgotten all this. Half the industry wasn't even in the market in that period.
Mm.
They weren't even here. And what we did here in those 5 years was develop a system and a process that allowed an agent to sell a home even in the most difficult circumstances. Now, my belief is that most real estate businesses in the country do not have that system and process in place and have no idea of what they need to do, and it's based on a series of simple things. But the most important thing that it's based on is evidence. You need to be able to present to a seller strong evidence and data, which we all have, plus dialogue, real dialogue, you need to not varnish your words. You need to tell people the truth. You need to meet regularly face to face, and you need courage. And the biggest issue for a lot of people in the next couple of years is going to be the issue of courage. Our industry believes that we, the agents, were responsible on the way up as the market went up for all the good things that happened to the owners. They had nothing to do with it, I'm being cheeky, but it was all about us, the great prices they got. Well, if that's the deal, then as the market drops and slows down, it should also be all about us. We are either agents for all markets or we're only good when it does this. Now, if we're only good when it does this, there's no wonder people are going to push our fees down. In our market here, in the Byron Bay postcode, in the last year of the last up cycle, 2007, there was 472 sales in that year, which is about the number of sales in this postcode that were also made in the last couple of years here, at the end of an upward cycle. 2008, there was 225 sales. 472 to 225.
Half, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now, our company made 117 of those 225 sales in 08, and we continued every year after that, through the hardest years in the history of this area, to make 45, sometimes 50% of the sales. Our market share here at the moment is 42%. And we continue to do that because the staff didn't give up, because we had a process, because we were real, because we used evidence and data, because we focused on motive. We didn't sell every house or every listing, but we tried very hard. But there is a system and a process. If you're out there listening to this interview and you're in a market where you've never seen it before and where you're doing everything right and you're advertising a property and there's no one coming through the front door and you've got no guidance to give to your owner, then there is a way. Here's another very important thing. The whole team needs to do the same things. If you're on your own in a big team and you're doing these things, talking to your owners regularly, giving them evidence, it's real hard. It's one man out, it's like playing football, and you're the only one taking the ball up or doing the tackling. It's a team issue, and what we did in our business here, we got everybody together then, as I just did 2 weeks ago and did a training, we all got on the same page.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. Again, you remind me of my old sales training where in a team, one of my old managers would say, Samantha, if your head's on fire and your feet are in a bucket of ice, it doesn't even out to a comfortable body temperature.
So, I never heard that one.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah.
So you can't, all the team have to be in sync like that.
Yeah, they do. Everyone
has to have the same experience.
And what happens then is that the people get excited with other people getting a price adjustment and not a trim. At the end of the day, with some properties, they've got to be adjusted a lot. But that's why no one's focused on adjusting prices for the last 4 years or so, because we've been going upwards. Now, what happens in a lot of businesses, the single focus of the sales manager or the seniors in the team is adjusting prices so that properties can move. Everyone's days on market are doing this in every market in the country at the moment. There's another very important thing here. This isn't a bad thing. What happens when the market quietens down like this? People get very despondent. We're not here. There's a way to continue to sell property at the same rate that you can in the upward cycle. But you've just got to put this system in place and you've got to be diligent, you've got to have courage.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark McLeod was in Transform a couple of weeks ago and he talked about the concept of a third sale. Mm. You know, everyone in real estate says that the listing is your first sale and the actual sale is your second sale.
Yeah.
But in this market that we're looking at more than ever, there is a third sale, which is getting the vendor to meet the buyer or the buyer to meet the vendor, whichever way it happens to be. What are your thoughts on that?
He's completely correct. And strangely, it's the most important sale. You know, listing a property has become the be-all and the end-all the last few years, which makes sense. If you get the listing, the property, generally speaking, in good markets, will sell itself. If you're not able to make that third sale, and the third sale is about trust. People are confused at the moment and disappointed if they're in a good market and the house 6 months ago down the road that's not as good as theirs sold in 3 days, and they're now 40, 50 days in and there's no one coming to the opens. But there's a number of absolutes here. If you're not getting any inspections and any offers, I'll tell you right now, your property's 10, 15% above market. If you're getting lots of inspections, but you're not getting any offers, your property's 5, 6, 7% above market. You're getting lots of inspections and lots of offers, you're on the money. It isn't that complicated what we do. But back to your question about Mark's third sale, and that's what you should be focused on at the moment. There's a question you can ask a seller, and some people think this is cheeky, but I came up with this years ago, and in essence, I say to a seller, particularly if they've had a nice property and you've had inspections but no offers and the days on market are going out and everyone's sitting around trying to work out why it isn't sold, I say to people in a cheeky way, have you got some evidence about a surge in the market that I don't know about?
Yeah.
Now, you smile, and some of them do, some of them don't, but at the end of the day, it's like a can opener. What you've got to do in a relationship with a seller is get the can opener, open the top and get stuff out. And this is very important. Some young people in our industry right now are getting bruised and people are getting angry at them. That's really difficult because it's not really about us. It's the people's anger needs to be directed somewhere. But you got to be good at anger management. One of the guys that worked for me, who was a very, very good salesman, worked for me for many years, he used to use a metaphor of a WedEx. We're the WedEx. And we're there to soak up all their stuff. Sometimes it's anger, sometimes it's silence. I'd rather deal with the people who are angry because my view's always been, okay, that's outside. Then there's other people that don't say anything, passive aggressive. You know, one of my guys yesterday, who's a very good salesman, Luke, came in and said, boss, we need some training, not on anything else except body language and how to communicate with people who are angry or frustrated, and we're going to do that here. We've done some in the past. You know, Mark's right, the third sale and being able to, here's the word, truthfully persuade people to change their price so they can move is the single greatest skill an agent can have. An approach I've used many, many times. Sometimes when all else fails, you make an appointment, you go around to see your owner and you start the conversation with, I'm sorry, I got the price wrong. And you can, from that, often have a very interesting conversation. Some vendors will come across and, no, it wasn't your fault, we did it together, so that's great. Other times, well, yeah, you were a bit high, but it's like a blackboard, cleaning the slate, and you start all over again, and you reprice the property, and you can relaunch it and make some changes. Sorry, I got the price wrong. Sometimes it's like, that's what you've got to do before you can move forward. Here's the deal, though, at the moment. The definition of madness is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. If you've been on the market for weeks and then into months, and there's no offers and no inspections, then something's wrong. One other thing that clicks into all of this is the fact that we are operating now in the most transparent age in the history of any forms of transactions, not just real estate. Mm. In other words, the public can see everything about open inspections, visits, all of those things by looking at the portals. They can tell. So the buyers know if something's been around for ages. You can't hide anything from them. So if your property's been out there for a long time and there's nothing happening, nothing changes unless something changes. Now, whether that's the price or the photography or the words or something, but it's got to be repositioned in the market.
How long before you have one of those conversations? So let's say I've been on the market for 2 weeks and there's been not much interest in my property, no inspections. At what point would you be telling me that something needs to change?
My view is you need to do it before the second open for inspection.
Right, okay.
So you have the first open for inspection. Most agents use a guide now. I was talking to one of Sydney's best agents a couple of weeks ago. I had lunch with him in Sydney. And he said he doesn't want any email inquiries on the property because the single question you get in your email inquiries is what's the price or how much do they want? His view was if he got the price guide right, he didn't need to answer any of those. He'd see the people at the opens, which is a fair and reasonable call.
Yeah.
So if you're using a price guide and no one turns up the first time, then you've got to do it by the time you have the second open, open for inspections are like the movies, the cinema. If there's something good on at the cinema, the theatre's full.
Yeah.
If nothing's good on, no one turns up.
Yeah.
Well, an open for inspections like that. Think about it.
Yeah.
If there's nobody there, the public can see the 30 photos, Google Maps and all that stuff. They know everything about it. They can go into the Soul Galleries and look at everything around it. Like, it's so transparent. So if there's nobody there, stop believing, I guess, as an agent and as a seller, that someone miraculous is going to come down out of the sky and turn up. Doesn't happen that way. So second open for inspections, the answer to your question. If you do the first lot and nobody turns up, then you've got something wrong. There is no other excuse or reason today, unless it was some, I don't know, astrological event and the media hit the ground or something. Okay, maybe next week. But other than that, you know, there isn't any other reason. I've seen the weirdest things. And remember, for us, we operate in a market that's got some challenges. We're in a holiday town. So many of the people who are our buyers live in your town or live in Melbourne or they live in Adelaide. So if it works here for us on that basis, it works for you guys, for everywhere else.
Mm. Chris, what about the buyer's side? So sometimes you might have a couple of buyers interested in a property, but the vendor is where they are.
Mm-hmm.
How would you talk to a buyer in this market to potentially get the two to meet somewhere in the middle?
Okay, the only evidence that matters for a vendor at the end of the day is offers. So in terms of a buyer, you have to, no matter what people say, scripts and dialogues really don't help in these circumstances, because great agents improvise and great agents ask lots of questions and great agents use hypotheticals. So what a great agent will do in order to create a sale, you can't say to a buyer, for example, that the owner will accept this amount of money, but you can use hypotheticals between the two groups. What if? You also, on the seller side, I remember years ago doing a deal here during the GFC, and the person who owned the property was a very well-known Australian, and the offer that came in was hundreds of thousands of dollars less than the vendor wanted. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't get it together. One of my really good salesmen came in and said, I can't do this. I said, well, go back, I'll give you another question, one question. Leave the price aside. Is the money you're being offered enough to allow you to do what you want to do? Keep right away from everything else. Will it allow you to do what you want to do? He asked the question. There was a silence on the other end of the phone because the question's different. Mm. Not would you take it or is it whatever. He said, give me overnight. He came back the next morning, accepted the offer. You've got to find different ways to put deals together when the market's transitioning, and you focus on motive, where they want to go, much more than price, because people get stuck on it. But it's the same with the buyer. Some buyers believe once the market changes that they've got all the balls in their court. Well, they haven't. There's plenty of owners out there who don't have any debt and they don't get the price, they won't sell. So somewhere between those two attitudes, you've got to move that person across here, move this person into here, and then you've got to form a bridge. The bridge is this sort of connection, and that's where you put the deal together. I think also it depends on the marketplace. Not all markets are exactly the same in that instance, but generally speaking, it's a little bit here and a little bit here, same as we do, and then they meet in the middle.
So what advice would you give to either people, that are real estate agents out there at the moment who might be struggling a little bit or new to the industry and perhaps new to this type of environment that haven't been through 2008 and before that? What advice would you give to them?
Okay, the first thing, I would find the people with the most courage within your office and I'd listen to their phone conversations. And if I was new, I'd be going out to vendor meetings with those agents, asking them, can I come along and listen with you to the language that you use when you talk to your owners? That's the first thing. The second thing is that I would be absolutely making sure I was all over reporting and the different types of reports you can send out to an owner. Number three, I would be practicing my own. I'm a big believer in the use of a pen and the use of a pad. And I would be crafting, I think you used that word before, crafting good questions to ask owners. Mm. You know, what are you waiting for is a simple question to ask an owner. Is your house on the market or is it in the market? There's a series of questions you can ask people to gently prod them, to get them to open up and talk. I believe that our industry suffers, unlike doctors and some other industries, in that people don't always tell us the truth because they don't trust us. They think we're not actually on their side. They think we're on our side. They think it's just about us. You've got to find a way to demonstrate to people by your actions, not by your words, by your actions, that your intentions are good and you want to help them. You just don't have commission breath and you're just not interested in getting paid. Mm. So for young people, I would find mentors and people who've been around a while who know how to do this. I would practice good questions and I would get really, really good at reporting. And if that means you've got to do two reports a week or two different types of reports, so be it. Graphs are really good and simple charts that you can send out to people. I know some guys who've got a local office here and they've got this simple graph. And what they do is average out each week the number of email responses they get in internet activity visits to the portals. And they've got a desired average number for their properties and their business. If your property is listed with them and it falls underneath the graph, it's real simple, their graph. It's just one sheet of paper that says, look, you guys are down here this week. We've got to do something about this. If someone's up here above the graph, all good. Sometimes something diagrammatic is really simple. Find it. There's lots of them out there. So they're the four things that I would do. And don't lose faith. That's a biggie. Don't lose faith. This new market is a bit strange, but the best agents, this is the most important thing I've said this morning. The best agents flourish in this market. They don't flounder, they flourish. Go find the best agents. Look into those ones, the ones with courage.
All right, so Chris, just to end, I notice you've got written on a big piece of paper on your desk right now, calm is contagious, and I love that. Tell me what that means to you.
My observation over all my years of running organisations, not just this real estate business, but other organisations, is you've got to stay calm at your core. If you're a salesperson dealing with sellers, your calmness, your serenity, your control. You can't have control unless you're calm. If a seller or a buyer can sense from you that you're calm, then that makes them feel calm. When you're having conversations with people, don't be speedy. If your vendor or your seller is agitated, anxious, you slow down a conversation by slowing down your speech, by slowing down your delivery. But in a business, whether you're a leader, the most important thing is to be calm. Now, I go off sometimes, but generally I'm calm at my core. So in anything you do as a salesperson or as a leader, being calm is the way to keep control. People will follow you when you're calm. A vendor will follow you. I think what a lot of salesmen don't understand is that being a real estate salesman is actually a leadership role. People say, I can never be a leader, I don't want to be a leader. Well, you are. People's biggest, most valuable possession is their home. They want you to lead and guide them through the process. You don't follow someone who's crazy or speedy. You follow people who are calm. So the calmer you are, it is contagious. Your vendors will catch it and the process will be a lot easier and everyone will enjoy it. It's a no-brainer.
That's fantastic advice. And as always, Chris, I have immensely enjoyed talking to you and we'll see you again soon.
You will do. Thank you.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.